As we look at the fourth of the Beatitudes this morning, let's turn first in the Old Testament to Psalm 63. Psalm 63, reading verses 1 through 8 there on pages 608 and 609. Bears the title of Psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. Psalm 63. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands. My soul be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. And then turning to our text in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, it's verse 6, but we'll begin reading at verse 2. It's on page 1029. And he, that is Jesus, opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Hunger and thirst remind us of basic needs that, unmet, are fatal. Jesus uses the imagery of hunger and thirst to make his fourth point among his great Beatitudes. He describes here first the goal, which is righteousness, or rather, in the Greek, the righteousness. In other words, Jesus has in mind not some general morality or respectability, but he has in mind the righteousness that is perfect and thus divine. The goal of the blessed person, the blessed man or woman, the goal is this righteousness, which we receive in two ways. We receive it firstly by imputation, which is the ethical perfection credited to our account through the perfect life and substitutionary death of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul expresses that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become what? The righteousness of God. This is the work of justification, which the Shorter Catechism describes as an act of God's free grace, wherein he pardoneth all our sins and accepteth us as righteous in his sight, only for the righteousness of Christ imputed to us and received by faith alone. The goal is the righteousness that we receive, first by imputation, second by impartation. This is the ethical perfection accomplished in our lives through God's grace. Again, turning to Paul's writings to Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with what? The fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. This is the work of sanctification in our lives, which the Westminster Shorter Catechism describes as the work of God's free grace, wherein we are renewed in the whole man according or after the image of God, and are enabled more and more to die unto sin and live unto righteousness. We are already declared righteous through imputation. We are becoming factually righteous through impartation. We might compare it to the experience that many of you have had where the doctor says, "You're a father." Well, yes, you're a father. But it's only really when you hold that baby in your arms some months later that you have the sense that you are a father. There is the reality that you are a father and that you are becoming a father. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Notice that the goal is not happiness. Ask the average American. Maybe it's true in China as well and other countries. What is your great goal in life? To be happy. Perhaps to be wealthy, to be famous, to become president, who knows? But our goal should be righteousness. And anything that's good, like happiness or wealth, is a byproduct of the righteousness that we receive by faith in Jesus Christ. We need to remember that if you have a pain and you go to a doctor, his concern is not so much with ameliorating the pain as he is with curing it, whatever is causing the pain. And that's what God does, doesn't he? He makes us righteous when we are not. Many in the church are dissatisfied with what they have in Jesus Christ. They want a new or a varied experience. And what they need to do is rather to appreciate what they have in Jesus Christ already, a reality that they are declared righteous and they are becoming righteous. This is our goal, and we should be satisfied with that goal in our lives. Jesus describes, secondly, the means that we use to attain that goal. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Now, this language has a rich Old Testament background. To take just a few examples, we sang in Psalm 42:1, one of the many passages that talk about thirsting for God or hungering for God. In Psalm 63:1, which was read for you, we sing, "O God, you are my God, earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you, my flesh faints for you as in a dry and weary land." Isaiah 55, in that great gospel command, says, "Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price," and goes on to talk about delighting yourselves in rich food. Our Lord himself, in John's gospel, as is recorded in chapter 7, verse 37, says, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." That is, our natural state is one in which we are thirsty and hungry. But the sad thing is that in our sin, we don't recognize that. We are satisfied with what we have rather than what God provides for his people. And so as Jesus talks of the blessedness of the one who hungers and thirsts for righteousness, We have to understand that he is establishing means by which we attain the goal of that righteousness. We have to be asking ourselves, are we longing to be right with God? Are we longing to be free from the power of sin? Are we longing to be free from the very desire to sin? Are we longing to be like Christ? Now, that is not to assume that we can attain this righteousness by our own efforts. After all, in the very first of the Beatitudes, Jesus told us that we are to be poor in spirit. We are not to have an exaggerated understanding of ourselves. We are not to have a self-confidence that we can meet our own needs. No, we are to be confident only in our lack of confidence. We are not to be self-reliant. We're not to be, in a sense, good Americans who fancy themselves to be very self-reliant. No, we need to have, brothers and sisters, a consciousness of our desperate need and helplessness. We need to hunger and thirst. We need to long for the righteousness that we lack and only can receive through the work of Jesus Christ. And then we come finally to the promise. We've seen the goal of righteousness. We've seen the means to attaining that righteousness, and now we come to the promise. They shall be satisfied. With what? What is the satisfaction that Jesus is promising here? He is promising us the righteousness that we should be seeking, and by the power of the Spirit in our lives, we are seeking. The Apostle Paul refers to that in Romans chapter 5, verse 17, in a very striking way. For if by one man's trespass death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. The promise here is of grace from God, received as a gift like all gifts that are free. On your child's birthday, you don't hand them a gift and say, well, that'll be $5. You give it to them because it's free. And the righteousness that God gives us is free. And so this promise comes to us immediately, first of all. You are justified by Christ's righteousness. Once the Holy Spirit has applied the work of Christ, you are justified. You are righteous. Again, turning to Romans, this time to chapter 1 and verse 17. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith, quoting the Old Testament prophet Habakkuk. You are justified. You are justified through faith and receive Christ's righteousness. Secondly, the promise is that you will continually be receiving the righteousness of Christ. You are sanctified by the Holy Spirit, delivered from the power and pollution of sin. Returning to Romans 5:17, remember, those who receive the abundance and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. There is the present tense. You are being sanctified. This is a continual act of God. And thirdly and finally, the promise is that you will eternally be receiving the righteousness of Christ. You will be perfectly righteous in heaven, where you shall be like him. That's why Martin Lloyd-Jones, in his wonderful consideration of the Sermon on the Mount, writes this about this particular of the Beatitudes. Quote, The Christian is one who is at one and the same time hungering and thirsting, and yet is filled. And the more he is filled, the more he hungers and thirsts. This is the blessedness of the Christian life. End of quote. It's not the frustration. It's not the difficulty. It is the blessedness of the Christian life. And may this then be your happiness in knowing and serving Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Oh Lord, our God, we thank you that you give us a hunger and thirst for what we lack, the righteousness without which no one will ever see you, no one will ever be welcomed into heaven, no one will ever be suited to the life of eternity. We thank you, Lord, that by your Holy Spirit applying the work of Jesus Christ, we are righteous and we are becoming righteous. And we pray that we would hunger and thirst more and more for that righteousness of Jesus Christ that is paradoxically already ours. And we look forward to that time when that work will be complete, when we will be ushered into heaven and see Christ as he is in his perfect righteousness, which has become ours. We pray this for the glory of Christ and for the good of ourselves and all God's people. Through Christ we pray. Amen. Let's respond to God's word by turning to Psalm 107, the A selection. 107, A. Oh, thank the Lord, for he is good. His love endures eternally. And you'll see in the second stanza, their hunger and thirst increase, their souls within grew faint as well. So to the Lord, did they complain? No, they cried, and he rescued them from their distress. Let's stand to sing 107A.